Welcome to the Fashionista Life, where we talk about fashion, interior design, parenting, and everything that encompasses the lifestyle of a fashionista. You can't help but smile with our host, Jennifer Johnson, a true fashionista and lifestyle expert, coming to you live from Naples, Florida.
Hi, friends, and thanks for listening to the Fashionista Life brought to you by True Fashionistas, where you can sell, shop, and look fabulous. I am your host, Jennifer Johnson, and today we have a short podcast, and we're talking about none other than the history of the bikini. Yes, the two-piece bathing suit was introduced in the 1930s in Europe, but it was initially supposed to just be the halter top and shorts. Only a little bit of the midriff was revealed, and the navel was well covered. Well, the excitement of the bikini was dwarfed by World War II, and wartime fabric rationing put swimwear on the back burner. And it wasn't until post-war times that the bikini really had its shot at popularity. As post-war Western Europe eagerly headed back to the beaches in the summer of 1946, and in response to the liberated mood, two French designers, Jacques Haim and Louis Riard, simultaneously had the genius idea to develop a two-piece swimsuit. Haim advertised it as the world's smallest bathing suit, and Riard's version, however, went a little bit further. He simply advertised it as the world's smallest bathing suit, but Riard's version was simply featuring a bra top and two inverted triangles of cloth tied together by a string. And we all know that by a triangle by a bikini now. And he promoted it as a smaller than the world's smallest bathing suit. So that's a mouthful, but it's quite hilarious because instead of just being the smallest, it's the smaller than the smallest. And it gave the name bikini, named after Bikini Atoll, the site of the first atomic bomb test of the previous year. It's quite obvious why the name stuck. And I know this is a shocker, but Riard had issues finding a professional model to wear his super skimpy two-piece. So he turned instead to someone who had no problem appearing nude in public, and he went for an exotic dancer. He knew that his creation would create headlines, so he beat him to the punch and he printed newspaper type across the suit. And the bikini was a smash. Is your closet overflowing, or maybe your kids' closets are as well, or maybe you just want to redecorate your home? If you're wondering what to do with all that stuff that you've accumulated, bring it all to True Fashionistas, or even ship it to them for free, and they'll sell your unwanted items for you. They even take away all the hassle by doing all the work, and all you have to do is sit back and collect your money. Plus, it's extra money in the bank for all of those fun little things that you like to buy for yourself. You can reach out to them online at truefashionistas.com. Come into the store or check them out on Facebook or Instagram. And that's truefashionistas.com. All right, friends, we're back talking about the history of the bikini. All right, so the bikini was the hottest thing in Europe to the point where Spain and Italy tried to pass measures to prohibit it on public beaches. But later they relented as there was no stopping the bikini popularity. Riard's business went stratospheric. But he managed to keep the bikini's mystique alive by advertising it as a two-piece. Unless it could be pulled through a wedding ring. Now, picture that. That is absolutely crazy. I mean, that is like a string bikini, right? And right over here in the good USFA, it took quite a lot longer for the bikini's full acceptance, if you will. Bring on the youthful liberation of the 60s, and the bikini had arrived in full force. In 1960, we can point a huge part of the blame on Brian Hyland and his silly yet catchy song, Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny. Oh, gosh, here, I'm gonna mess this up, but Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. I can hear it in my head right now. The movie industry followed with a string of beach blanket movies starring Annette Funicello and Frankie Avalon. And on an interesting note, I actually got to meet Frankie Avalon several years ago, and it was so neat to meet him. But they took the two of them and put them in movies, and the emergence of California surfing culture, celebrated by a lot of rock groups like the Beach Boys, really, really catapulted this trend. Designers have since reduced the bikini to even less material and more strings, like in 1988 when the G-string gained popularity, and they've gone even for leather. Not to be completely disregarded by the one-piece and other two-piece styles like the tankini, monokini, the bandeau, the strapless top, the bike shorts, the crop top. I could go on and on. But the bikini is here to stay, my friends. And thanks again for tuning into the Fashionista Life. I'm your host, Jennifer Kirk Johnson, and this has been brought to you by True Fashionistas. Make your day fabulous.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the Fashionista Life. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review. That helps others find the show, and we really appreciate it. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode of the Fashionista Life.